Let flesh be silent, and let your spirit speak expressly and clearly to all that will hear and receive and obey. We ask it now in faith, and we thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk, but before I do, I have a request to ask you to pray for us on Tuesday, if we live and the Lord will. We have to go up to Antelope Valley to be with my nephew, one of my nephews, who is standing before the judge to receive a sentence for his convictions. And we're praying that the Lord will touch the heart of the judge, and whatever sentence that he receives, we're praying that he'll be able to serve them concurrently and not consecutively. He was convicted on 3 counts, and we would like for him to be able to serve time on all 3 concurrently. Is that the proper thing? Concurrently, yeah, and not consecutively. We don't want him to serve one and then got it. So pray. It's in the hands of God. Amen. But we have a right to ask. Amen. All right. So we'll be heading that way Tuesday. But I want to talk this morning from a subject or thought: born to live and walk by the Holy Spirit. Born to live and walk by the Holy Spirit. It's important, vitally important, that we understand certain things about God and the Word of God. We are going to begin in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. That's where we will begin. Just a little background on Galatians. Galatians was an epistle, a letter that was written to the saints. Now, there were about 4 churches in the province of Galatia. And there was an incident where the congregation was a mixed congregation. You had Gentiles and you had Jews who accepted Jesus Christ. And a problem arose because the Jewish believers were trying to tell the Gentile believers that they had to go back and be circumcised. And that was under the law. So they tried to kind of, it's kind of similar to the occasion with the saints at Colossae. Remember when we were in Bible study a few months back, and we were dealing with the book of Colossians, and we saw that people were trying to tell them that they needed Jesus and something else. This is why in Colossians it said, in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Paul was taking great pains and efforts to let them know, let the saints at Colossae know, when you have Jesus, you have all that you need, right? You have the express image of God. You have the totality of God. So here, some Jewish believers were trying to tell the Gentile believers that they needed to be circumcised, which was a commandment under the law. So they were trying to add something in with Jesus. But we are standing to tell you that if you have Jesus, if you really have Jesus, you have everything that you need. So we pick up a conversation in the 5th chapter of Colossians, and we'll begin around verse number 16. We're trying to cut to the meat of what we're trying to get us to see on today. Paul is speaking in verse 16. I have the Amplified version of the Bible. Here's what it says: but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. Then Amplified breaks that down. Responsive. We have to walk. Another important fact to remember, this letter is to the saints at Galatia, to those who are in the church. So Paul is saying, once you are in the church, there's a certain type of a way that our life should be lived. All right? So he said, I say walk and live habitually. It should be our habit. It should be every born again child of God. We should be in a habit of walking in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. We should be responsive to, and we should be controlled by, and we should be guided by the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. That should be our habit. If someone was to look at our lives, they should be able to see a life that is controlled by the Spirit of God, a life that is directed not by our own wills, not by the whims, or not by the fads or perspectives of human nature, but since we are born again, since we have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, then we should be in the habit of being responsive to the Spirit. We should be controlled by the Spirit. We should be guided by the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. Then if we do this, the scripture goes on to say in the 16th verse, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. Can I remind you of something? Even though we have, those of us who've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, even though we have been born to live and to walk by the Holy Spirit, there is still a war that's going on in our members. We still have a major battle going on inside of us because our human nature without God, our flesh, will never want to do what God wants to do. So there's a war that is constantly going on. That's why we have to train ourselves. We have to allow ourselves to be trained, to be governed, to be guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. Because when we do this, then we will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh. All of our flesh craves things. All of our flesh desires things. We shouldn't lie to ourselves. We shouldn't put, scripture tells us in one place, we don't put any confidence in the flesh because there's no good thing in the flesh at all. The flesh is so terrible and so bad that flesh and blood is not even going to inherit the kingdom of God. All right? So we know we can't trust flesh. Here's the scripture that says in verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other. I told you there's a war that's going on, right? They are continually withstanding and in conflict with each other. So there's a battle that's going on. We have to acknowledge the battle. This is why I believe the Bible says in one place, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is why it is so important for us to be born again. Like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must, don't marvel at it, but you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't marvel, Nicodemus. Don't marvel, religious ruler. Don't marvel, religious person, that you must be born again, because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. And our flesh is never going to agree with the Word of God. Our flesh is always going to say, it doesn't take all of that. Our flesh is always going to say, he's being too hard, or she's being too hard, or he's being negative, or she's being negative. We don't have to do this. That's your flesh talking. That's our flesh talking. But listen, God loves us so much that he doesn't mind upsetting our flesh if it will save our souls. Because God says he's not willing that any should perish. Your flesh, our flesh is a great deceiver and partnered with the devil. Our flesh will take us straight to where a place that was not designed for us. If we continue to listen to our flesh, if we continue to be led by the flesh, if we continue to serve our flesh, then our flesh will lead us to a place that was not designed for us at all. That place is hell. And it wasn't designed for us. It was designed for the devil and those angels that fell and followed him. So for the desires of the flesh, they're opposed to God. On any day, the flesh is always going to be against God. Verse 18 says, but if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, then you're not subject to the law. Remember, the law was a schoolmaster. The law brought, the law closed every mouth. The law said that everybody was guilty and brought us to Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Because what the law couldn't do, Jesus Christ did. He went to the cross. The Bible said he nailed the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. Jesus nailed them to his cross. I'm so glad that we don't have to go back under the law and keep this and keep that. The only thing that we have to do is put our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ and hear the message of the gospel and believe the gospel and obey the gospel, and we can receive and we have now eternal life. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. But if you are guided, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, then you're not subject to the law. Now, listen, you got to be born by the Spirit in order to be led by the Spirit. This is the true church of God. You can't join the true church of God. You got to be born into the true church of God. Now, Paul, now he begins to describe some of the practices of the flesh. So if we find ourselves doing some of these things, we need to be consciously aware that these are the practices of the flesh. Verse number 19, now the doings, the practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. Paul, or God himself, doesn't want us to be in the dark about what are the practices of the flesh, for they are immorality, impurity, indecency. So if you're in any of that, you're operating in the flesh. All right, any immorality. Don't look at nobody else. This ain't no look at your neighbor kind of situation. This is a look in your mirror situation. These are clear and obvious. They are immorality, impurity, and indecency. So if that is a part of you, that's a practice of the flesh. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirits, factions, sects, with peculiar opinions, heresies. Now, that was a whole lot of stuff, wasn't it? Amen. All that are practices of the flesh. So if you got an ill temper, if you jealous, if you angry all the time, look in the mirror of God's word and see what practices. He continues, verse 21, envy. Are you envious? Drunkenness. Carousing, oh Lord, have mercy, yeah, and the like, and all stuff like that. Everything that he named and all stuff that's like that, those are practices of the flesh, all right? And they are in direct opposition, they are in direct conflict with the Spirit of God. So he goes on to say, I warned you before, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you think that you're going to practice that list that we named, if you found yourself in one or more places in that list that we just mentioned, you need to stop practicing that stuff. You hear what I said? You need to stop it, because Paul said, I warned you before, just as I did previously. This ain't the first time you heard this. This is not the first time you heard a message like this. But let it sink in this time that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now remember, he's writing a letter to the church, right? To the church at Galatia, right? Then he gives the contrast. Here's the contrast now in verse number 22. This is what our lives should look like as we see the contrast. This should be the fragrance of our life. This should be the adjectives that people can look at our lives and see these following things. But the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes. So if we have been born of the Spirit, if we have been born of the Spirit, then there is a work. There is a work that the Holy Ghost will perform. There is a work which God's presence inside will accomplish. Here's what it is. It's love. Are you a lovely person? Are you filled with love? Does your persona exude love? It should, if you were born with the Spirit, because the Bible says for all of us who were born of the Spirit, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So our lives should emanate the love of God. Then there's some joy. Hallelujah. We should be the most joyful people on the face of the earth. Is there joy exuding from your life? When people see us, do they think love? Do they think joy? Or do they think, oh boy? What do they think when they see us? What is God's presence doing in us? What is God's presence producing? What's the proof of God's active presence in us? It should be gladness. We should be the most happy people. Our very countenance should light up a room. We have the power of the living God to change atmospheric conditions in a room that we go into, because we bring joy, we bring love, we bring gladness into a room. Peace. What's behind you when you leave a room? Do you leave a room in confusion, or does your presence and the presence of the very God that we carry on the inside, does that exude peace? Is there a calmness that overtakes an environment when you come in, or when you come in, does trouble come in with you? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, gladness, peace, patience. Oh, Lord, can someone say that I'm a patient person? Can someone say that you are a patient person? Do you exude patience? Do we possess and display and have an even temper? Or can somebody push our buttons? Can someone say the wrong thing? If they brush up against us, what's our response? Do we have an even temper? Lord, now wait a minute. This is the proof of the power and the presence of God dwelling amongst us. Do we have forbearance? Just how much can we take? Or do we just sing, for he knows just how much we can bear? It's more than a song. We got to live this, y'all. And we should live this with confidence, not arrogance, but we should live this with confidence, because we understand, or we should become to a more understanding of what we have in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Kindness. How kind are we? Do we take time to be kind? Sometimes we got to be kind on purpose. We got to be intentionally kind, because we're living in a world that's full of darkness. We're living in a world that's full of sin. Just do something kind for somebody that don't even know you. Do something kind for somebody that can't pay you back. That's the type of a thing, actually, that Jesus did. Yes, he did. He was kind and he was merciful to all of us when he went to the cross of Calvary. Goodness, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the work which his presence within accomplished. Benevolence, doing stuff for somebody else. Faithfulness, how faithful are we? How faithful to God are we? Let's get that in the right perspective, because sometimes we're faithful to do the things that we really want to do, but it might be the desires of the flesh. So we got to get things on the right side of the ledger. Then he continues in verse 23. He says, gentleness. How gentle? Why you got to have a hard look all the time? And you feel, I know I got the Holy Ghost. All right. Okay. Then where's the gentleness? Where's the meekness? Where's the power under control? Where is the humility? Where is the self-control? Where is the self-restraint? Where is the continence? See, when we allow ourselves to be governed and controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit, the scriptures goes on to say in verse 23, against such there is no law that can bring a charge. We can walk around chargeless if we're living like this. And guess what? We have the capacity, we have the opportunity, and we have the power to do it because we've been born of the Spirit. It is our obligation to live like this. This is the only way that we should live in all of our day-to-day operations, in all of our day-to-day dealings. We should be governed by this. That word governed, the Holy Ghost should govern us. When we were in the military, they had certain vehicles that they put a governor on, and the governor would only allow you to go to a certain amount of speed. And you could, I don't know how far you mashed that gas down, whatever that governor was set on, that was your speed limit. So the Holy Ghost should be a governor for us. It should be a regulator for us. It should, no, you can't do this, and you can't do that. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't think this, and you can't entertain that. We need the governor. Wait a minute. I read somewhere the scripture says the government shall be upon his shoulders. So he's the governor. I'm talking about Jesus. So if he's the governor, then he puts in us the Holy Ghost. Then we have to live like this on purpose. On purpose. And we have it is the power and the privilege. What a blessed privilege to live like this. We really don't have to worry about anything if we are consistently led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are indeed the sons of God. So we have to relinquish the controls of our life. That's what we did when we received the Holy Ghost. We weren't in control. The control came on the inside. We were praising in joyful anticipation, and we just received the power of the Holy Ghost, and God came in and took up residence in us, and God spoke out of us in an unknown tongue, in a clear and loud expression, letting us and those who were waiting with us know, I'm in here now. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. So now the governor has come in, the governor being the Holy Ghost. So now I used to have some bad habits. I had a smoking habit. Yes, I did. Some of y'all did too. I had a gambling habit, and some of y'all did too. I had a drinking habit, and some of y'all did too. I had a carousing habit, and some of y'all did. Oh, y'all getting real quiet. And some of y'all did too. I had a drug habit, and some of y'all did too. I had a lying habit, and some of y'all did too. But when the Holy Ghost has come, then the habits change. Now it's my habit now, or it should be. It should be my habit to allow the Holy Ghost to produce the fruit that it wants to produce. Then I'm gentle. I can't get back at you because you say something about me. I got to take down, knowing in my younger days that I might have, let that go right there. Don't even need to entertain that, because I got to be humble now. I have the power now through the Holy Ghost. And if I yield myself and just stand there and take whatever God has for me to take, I want to show God that his investment in me was worth something. We should want to show God that your investing the Holy Ghost in me was not a mistake. I've been born to live by the Holy Ghost. We've been born to live and to walk under the power of the Holy Ghost. We are born to be gentle. We are born to be humble. We are born to exercise self-control. When we're born again, we have the power of the Holy Ghost, and we do not have to give in to sin. No, we don't. We make a conscious decision, no matter how quick it is. But if we have the bona fide, the true Spirit of God, we don't have to sin. We can live like God wants us to live. I know that's hard for some to understand. I know that's hard for someone to even say amen to. But God's Spirit is not a weak spirit. If there's any weakness, the weakness is in our flesh. That's why Paul said, mortify this flesh and the deeds of the flesh. Don't let your flesh breathe. You hear what I said? Don't let it breathe. How you gonna kill it? Kill it with the Word of God. Put the Word of God on your flesh. Put the Word of God against our human reasoning. Listen, because stuff might not sound logical. It might not sound practical. You know, there's a whole bunch of voices saying, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. Or anybody, no. Let God arise in me and let my enemies, who are God's enemies, let them be scattered. I was born to live for God. You were born to live for God. You were born to do great things for God. Sometimes we don't realize the power that we have in the Holy Ghost. Don't you know that one of us, one of y'all can chase 1,000. Glory, hallelujah. Did you know that you had that kind of power? One of y'all in this section right here, only take one in that section, one in this section, and one in that section, y'all can chase 1,000. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And don't let two of y'all get together. Don't let two of y'all touch and agree on earth as concerning anything. Two of y'all filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, can put 10,000, glory, hallelujah, to flight. Do you imagine? Do you understand the power that's been given to us? The power that's on loan from God? We got the power of heaven. Yes, we do. So, oh, Lord, he got to help us to understand and get this to the forefront of our mind. We can lay hands on the sick. That's what the Bible said, and they shall recover. We spend too much time living beneath our privilege. We ain't bragging, but we're in Christ. We ain't arrogant, but it's high time for us to live like who we are. We belong to God. God bought us. God paid for us. He shed his precious blood for us. Jesus said, greater works shall you do than these. Now, Jesus did some works when he was down here in his earthly ministry, but he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So listen, I notice folks in here, in every section of this building, filled with the Holy Ghost. You got unlimited power. You got unlimited capacity. You got unlimited opportunity.
use the power that you have. Walk, be strong in the Lord. I came to encourage somebody today. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wicked one. In this evil day, we are living in a time of wickedness. We are living in a time of sin and degradation and iniquity. But God will not leave himself without a witness. God has left us here because we got work to do, y'all. Listen, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So we beseech men and women, be ye reconciled unto God. We have the ministry of reconciliation, and what has given us the ministry, putting us in Christ. When Christ put his spirit in us, he put us in the ministry. Don't worry about a title. You already got one. You're a saint of the Most High God. Don't worry about no papers. You already got papers. You got 66 books full of papers. Stand on the word of God. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you, with the power of the living God, can speak to a mountain. That's how you walk. We need somebody that's brave enough to look at a mountain and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be ye removed, and don't doubt. You hear what I said? Don't doubt it, and watch that mountain skip. Watch that mountain get up out of your way. The Bible said, these signs shall follow him that believe. Who believes in this house? He said, in my name. That's where the authority comes from. It comes in the name of Jesus. We got to walk in that name. We got to live in that name. We got to lift up that name. He said, in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. We got the power and the faith, or we should have the faith, to lay hands on somebody and have them receive the gift of the Holy Ghost according to your faith. So those, I can't get away from this, those that are seeking, where is your faith? Lift up your faith. Believe God. Trust it. You ain't got to bargain. Lord, help me. You ain't got a bargain with God for the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost ain't cheap. So don't bargain for it. Glory. Hallelujah. You ain't got to beg God for the Holy Ghost. Because it's a free gift. All you got to do is believe him and receive it. That's all you got to do. Listen, God already forgave you when he went to the cross of Calvary. All you got to do is receive it. Receive it. When the day of Pentecost, God, we need another Pentecost at 13515 South Figueroa. We need a Pentecost. We need you to shake this place in the name of Jesus. When the day, I feel like preaching now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. Yes, they were. Hey, they were all in one place and on one accord. They were all intentionally thinking the same thing, waiting for the promise, waiting, not doubting, but waiting, believing that God said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house. I said it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, that's what the Bible said, clothing tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all, glory, hallelujah, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. them 120 people turned Jerusalem out. You talking about turn up? They turned up Jerusalem. On that day, they were speaking in tongues all out in the street, and there was a big gathering of people. And they said, wait a minute, these folks got drunk. Yeah, look at them talking out their mind. They staggering. They staggering. Listen, God might have to give you a staggering praise because you're too dignified. You got too much pride to accept the Holy Ghost. You want the Holy Ghost all dignified. God might have to stagger you. I don't care, God. Whatever you got to do, stagger me. Slay me. Knock me down. But give me the Holy Ghost. Glory, hallelujah. I ain't too proud to lift up my hands. I ain't too proud to cry out from the depths of my soul. I don't care who's looking at me. If I got to roll, I'll roll. But whatever I do, I want what you promised. You got to have the nerve and the audacity to tell God, I want that you promised. They told me when I came in here that God is not a man that he should lie. So God, you gave it to them. I want it. They were staggering. They were staggering. They said, these people are drunk off some new wine. They drunk. Wait a minute. They're a bunch of Galileans, and they're drunk. I got to get a towel. I'm sweating up here. They're drunk off some new wine. They drunk. Then God had already pre-appointed a spokesman by the name of Peter. The same one, look at God, look at the mercy of God, the same one that cussed a little while ago and said, I don't even know Jesus. The same, God don't care nothing about your cussing. When God gets ready to use you, he's going to fill you and then he's going to use you. You hear what I said? Peter cussed, but he was still up in the room when the Holy Ghost came down. He cussed a little while ago. I remember the other day you said something. Yeah, that's all right, but I'm in the room now. Glory. Hallelujah. That was then, but this is now. So Peter was a part of that 120, and God told Peter, get up now and preach what I gave you. Peter got up with some, he always had boldness, but he had boldness on the other side, but God gave him some Holy Ghost boldness. Listen, oh Lord, that's as bad as you were out there in the world running game. When you get the Holy Ghost, God can use that character to make you bad for him, bold for him, strong for him. So Peter got up and said, ye men of Israel, these men ain't drunk. They ain't found a new spot. They didn't go to that harlot's house. They didn't go to Rahab's house and get that, that good stuff. No. But this is that. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel in the last days. God said he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That was the experience on the day of Pentecost. And let me tell you, in 2015, the same power, the same Holy Ghost is right here, right now. All we need is somebody to believe it and receive it. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But after that, after the filling, then they went to walking. After the filling, then they started living. After the filling, then they started their ministry. So listen, what I'm trying to tell those who haven't got it yet, stay in the room. Stay in the room. If you ain't got it yet, you hear what I said? I said yet, because I'm saying it in anticipation. I'm believing for you and you and you and you and you. That's why I said yet, because I believe as soon as your faith connects with the author and the finisher and the sustainer of our faith, doubt comes the Holy Ghost. It don't take God long. Just believe it. Just lose your mind believing it. Lose your identity and believe it. And down will come the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And then after they received it, then they started walking under the power of the Holy Ghost. They had authority then. They had power then. They had the ability. So those of us who have already received the fullness of the Holy Ghost, I came to encourage two camps in the same building. I came to encourage us who had the power and the filling of the Holy Ghost to walk in it. We got to train ourselves to walk under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And just let me say, it ain't always emotional. Yeah, I know I get excited, but it ain't always emotional. But there's something about the Holy Ghost. You can quietly walk for God. You can quietly walk with godly integrity. The Holy Ghost can quietly lead you. But when it comes time for you to be bold, God will open up your mouth. And if he's in there, he's going to let himself be known. Glory. Hallelujah. So it's time for us to walk in a way that is habitually holy. We got to be habitually controlled and consistently controlled by the Holy Ghost. I got to get to another scripture. I didn't finish that, but around verse 25, I think is what I want there. And I got to jump to another one, and then I'm going to stop. In a while. I'll say in a while. Now, how long a while is, I don't know. But I say in a while. But look at 25. He said, if we live by the Holy Spirit, and that's how we live, by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Holy Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line. We got to line up. We got to line up. Our conduct controlled by the Holy Ghost. When I was in the military, they were training me about left face and right face. Y'all veterans, y'all know this. Some of y'all, they were training me, and they were training me how to move troops. And the way you move troops, the troops got to be in some type of formation. Yeah, and they taught me if I was at a standstill, if I was at attention, when whoever's leading, whoever's on the outside calling the cadence, or who's ever leading the troops, he'll say forward march. And when you hear the command forward march, step off on your left foot. Don't you dare step off on your right. They drilled it in me. When you're at attention and somebody says forward march, left. You ever hear him say left? That's what they taught us. So it's in my brain. So if I'm at attention, and the command is forward march, I ain't going to do this. That's the flesh. The flesh want to step on the right foot. But the Spirit said left, 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 right, left. And you can move thousands of troops with just one person standing on the side. You know why? Because everybody's in step. That's why you can move soldiers from one point to another, because they're all listening. Left, 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 right, left. Everybody's marching. So listen, we are part of the body of Christ. We're soldiers. Yes, we are. And I'm not the one that's calling the cadence. God's calling the cadence. And we're actually, the Holy Ghost is calling the cadence. And he's given us a path to walk. And when he tells us to walk, we can't go to the right. We got to stand still sometimes and see the salvation of the Lord. But when God say go, he wants us to be in step. We got to be in step. So you got to believe what I believe. I got to believe what you believe. If not, there's going to be some confusion. We're going to be bumping into one another. God is not the author of confusion. So the Holy Ghost leads and guides us into all truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. So the Holy Ghost leads us. He'll tell you, wait,
you're going the wrong place. So the Holy Ghost said, rear, forward. Holy Ghost will give you a command. You're going the wrong way. Huh? If you're led and directed by the Holy Ghost, no, you ain't going down that path. Left flank, march. Uh-oh, go to the left. The Holy Ghost, but you got to be, right? Huh? Holy Ghost will tell you, no, there's trouble. You know there's trouble. Rear, march. But if you ain't listening to the Holy Ghost, huh, and he sees trouble down there in your life, he sees trouble awaiting in a relationship that you ain't got no business into, a soldier don't march like this. I don't care what George Jefferson said. A soldier don't march like that, huh? A soldier don't march like that, huh? But you, yeah, man, I'm cool. And then the Holy Ghost tried to tell you, danger, I'm cool. Danger, I'm cool. Here you go. There you go. Now, don't tell me nothing. I know. Don't tell me nothing. I know. Parents try to tell you something. I know. Your mama try to tell you something. Your wife try to tell you something. I know. Don't tell me nothing, woman. I know. Sunday school teacher try to tell you something. No, I ain't going to that class no more. I know. Mm-mm. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you got to march. Huh? You got to march to the beat of the word of God. If we were born by the Spirit, we have to walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit. We can't call no shots. We ain't no shot callers. You ain't no shot call. You can't even spell shot, spiritually speaking, that is. How you gonna call something that you can't see? Do you know how to get from earth to heaven? Who knows how to do that? Jesus. See, we let too much of the world's influence get in our minds and think we can make it work in church. The only shot caller, if you want to use that term, is God. All right. I got to get you another scripture. I'll get you one more, and then I'll pause it for now. 2 Timothy. My encouragement is to be born of the Spirit, if you haven't yet. And if you have, my encouragement is to walk and live by the Spirit. Because we ain't got much longer to be here, I do believe. I do believe we don't have much longer. Now, it's interesting that the same apostle who wrote to the Galatians is writing now to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verse number 1, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and kingdom. Now here's what he's charging him to do. Preach, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. This is why I'm urgent. I'm not mad. I'm just urgent. Because our lives and our existence hangs in the balance. I have to have a sense of urgency. All right? He said, stand by. Be at hand. Be ready. That sounds like some military terms to me. He said, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. In essence, if they want to hear it or if they don't want to hear it, you have a responsibility to tell them what they need. Huh? You see that? I want you to read that for yourself to know that I ain't making this up. It says, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. We don't want to hear that. You're always talking about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I get tired of that. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. That's a true preacher's job. That's got real quiet. Y'all still here? And convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying the best way I know how. That's why I tell y'all I need prayer, because I'm trying to do this. Be unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming, I believe we're in the time, when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction. People don't want to hear this. People don't want to hear that they got to live holy. People don't want to hear that they got to receive the Holy Ghost. People get upset with you if you read them what Paul said in Romans. Well, let me put a finger here. Romans 8 and 10. No. Romans 8 and 9 says, but you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. Is not truly a child of God. And that's what the Bible said. But if I read that, somebody going to get mad. But I read what's in your Bible. Now, you can get some white out if you want to, but I ain't whiting out in my Bible. So when we get back to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and 3, he says, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and foster the errors they hold. See, I don't like that, so I'm going to this other church. I'm going where I could be lost in the crowd. And you're going to be lost in the crowd, all right? And will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. That's the day that we're living in. But I have a responsibility to tell you the truth. You need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. I can't say any less than what he said, else you can't even see the kingdom of God. But know this, that's the day that we're living in. But I will do my best, God being my help, to preach, to herald, to teach, and keep a sense of urgency to let you know the word of God and where our lives are in error. You notice I said our, because when I get in error, this word has to correct me. I have to acknowledge when I'm in error also. It's one word for everybody. You got to be born of the Spirit. You got to live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. That's what we were born to do. Amen? God bless you. Hope I encourage you. Hope I provoke somebody to godly jealousy. I hope I builded up somebody's faith, knowing that if you endure until the end, you're going to be saved. Huh? Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It won't be long. Hang in there. It won't be long. God's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. But when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? So if you're here today and you never repented of your sins, you never had a change of heart, you never had a change of mind, you never had a change of direction, we are extending an opportunity to you not to join the church, but to give your life to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It ain't about joining the church. It's about repenting, being baptized in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you here and you want to be saved? That's salvation according to the Bible. Not something we made up. But if you're here this morning and you want to be saved, we encourage you to come this morning. Are you here? Are you here? Make up your mind. Don't look around at nobody else. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Come on. Are you here? Are you here? If you're here, come now. Come now. Come on. Are you here this morning? You need prayer? You need prayer? You need prayer? You need prayer? Come on. Come get some prayer. Whatever you're going through, believe God. Believe him. Come in faith. Come in faith. Come in faith. Come in faith. Come on. You need prayer for any reason at